You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources has a limited number of PVS-30 night vision scopes for $4,700. These are the top-of-the-line night vision scopes used by the U.S. military, which normally sell for over $11,000. Turn your 12-hour rifle into a 24-hour rifle. Visit Ready-Made Resources to get your PVS-30 today. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is my guest appearance on Radio Free Readout with John Jacob Schmidt. Enjoy the show.
All right. As promised, we are here with our friend, fellow prepper, fellow patriot, fellow God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. You guys are all familiar with Mark Goodwin from Prepper Recon, a prolific author he's become, and I like his style of writing. I like the topics that he's talking about, and he's got a new book coming out with this newest series in the days of
Elijah.
I was staring at the days of Noah, and my brain wouldn't let me say Elijah. The new one, The Days of Elijah. Mark Goodwin, thanks for joining us at Radio Free Redoubt.
John Jacob, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, now as we're talking this weekend, things are really potentially very dangerous with North Korea. And so this is timely that we're talking about this for two reasons. Your books are a dystopian style Christian perspective of writing. Almost all your stuff is. On the same weekend that things are escalating to the highest level they've been in probably decades with North Korea, on the day of our Lord, as we go into these what appear to be end times unfolding right before our eyes on the day that the Lord raised from the dead. So Resurrection Day. Happy Resurrection Day, by the way.
Well, thank you very much. And thanks for calling it Resurrection Day and not Easter, which is named after the Babylonian goddess Ashtar.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I covered this, yesterday on the show about Easter. What they're trying to do is I saw a couple of articles in the newspaper basically trying to minimize Easter altogether as there's nothing in the Bible. This is from a non-Christian writing in there saying there's nothing in early Christian history to talk about, them celebrating Easter. So basically you shouldn't either. It's just all it originated from in the Bible was when the Jews left Israel.
Yeah, I'm like, and they're half right. And there is no record of the early Christians celebrating Ashtar, the fertility goddess with colored eggs and rabbits and all these things that are symbols of fertility at that particular time of spring. However, I think they did recognize that Christ was our Passover lamb. He was crucified at Passover. And, and I think that this was something that especially given the deep Jewish roots of the early Christian church, I think that's something that they most likely always celebrated. It was at Passover when Jesus broke the bread and gave the wine and told his disciples, do this in remembrance of me.
Yes.
And then it was the Sunday, the first day of the week is when Mary went to the tomb, and we know that from the book of John. It was Sunday after Passover was the day that he rose from the dead. So this particular year, that happens to line up with the goddess Ashtar Sunday, which is Easter. But regardless, the American Christian Church always celebrates it with the rabbits and the eggs and the Semiramis, which is another name for that pagan goddess, they always celebrate it on that day as opposed to the day, the Sunday after Passover. So it's just by coincidence this year it lines up, but most years it's weeks apart, which is something that, you know, we haven't fully pulled away from that Babylonian influence in our culture and in our church. And then, you know, how does this, and I know we're supposed to be talking about World War III right now, and this is kind of like small potatoes, it seems like, but let me tell you something. It weaves together, and you said something last weekend. You said that there's spiritual forces of evil that are going on at high levels of the government, and you nailed that, because while we're sitting here talking about this ancient Babylonian goddess, we've got somebody that follows this ancient Babylonian religion that was mixed with Judaism and is now called Kabbalah. Jared Kushner and, of course, Ivanka Trump are both Kabbalists, and they've got the ear of the president. And Kabbalah is nothing more than the blend of Judaism and that ancient Babylonian religion. And so, It feeds right into World War III, because it was her that spoke, whispered in her father's ear, let's bomb Syria, you know, and it was Jared who said, you know, let's push Steve Bannon, one of the few people in your administration that understands the Constitution, understands, freedom, understands our need to get America right and make America great again before we start trying to make the world great again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're nailing it. And on this Resurrection Day, we're grateful. We know that they're trying to basically minimize any recognition. Well, they're re-identifying it for us. The secular world is saying, hey, Christians, this was never an early Christian holiday, so you should just ignore it and move on with your lives, instead of putting it in its proper context, and that is that it stemmed from Passover. And even in America today, our Easter weekend lines up with the Jewish calendar surrounding the resurrection and Passover.
Yeah, and when we don't celebrate those two things together, when we miss Passover, we miss the whole symbolism that God gave us of saying, yes, you know, this is what's going to happen. The angel of death is going to pass over you, and you're going to put your faith in this blood, in this sacrifice. You're going to smear it on the doorposts of your home, and when that angel of death comes up by, it's going to pass over you. Okay, yes. Well, that was for physical death, but
right,
there's going to be a day,
symbolic,
when the angel of eternal death passes over you, and whether or not you have the blood of this Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, whether or not that's on the doorpost of your heart is going to determine where you spend eternity. And when we miss that, we miss such a picture of salvation and redemption and that protection and that sacrifice that Jesus made. And I think if Satan can pull us away from that and pull away from that message, then, you know, he'll take it.
Absolutely. And there's gullible people out there that'll swallow it, that are supposed to be Christians and be set apart, sanctified, but they're not. So, it's an ongoing education process, isn't it?
It is.
And that's what you're doing with books. You're using fiction to educate people, to bring awareness, to merge current modern day events with biblical prophecy. And even though you state very clearly, this is just fiction, don't get hung up on, you know, the eschatology and timelines and things like that. This is just, you know, one way it could go and what it might look like for some people that are going through it. And, you know, it's good for us to kind of set our minds on that, modern day events with a Christian perspective. And this book just kind of helps kind of focus the lens on today's headlines through, you know, through a Christian viewpoint. And especially for how where we're headed, and it paints a really good picture about the challenges that we could be facing in this generation and in very, very soon. So first of all, let's talk about your latest book, because I have not read it yet. I just got done reading Apocalypse. Actually, I got the audio file of it. And about a month and a half ago, I finished up Apocalypse, the first in the series of The Days of Elijah. Loved it. And, of course, I read the first two books of The Days of Noah. I've still yet to go back and get the third one. But you've got a new one coming up in this newest series, The Days of Elijah, Wormwood. Talk about that. Where's this taking the characters now with Wormwood?
So in this book, you've got Everett Carroll and Courtney Carroll, his new wife. They both, prior to the collapse of America and the collapse of the world monetary system and the rise of a one world government, they both worked in the intelligence community. Everett was an analyst for the CIA, and Courtney was an outsourced worker for NSA. They've seen a lot of these little pieces of the puzzle coming together. And so at this point, everything's come together. You've got a one world leader that's come up, and he's reading the book of Revelations like a playbook. So they can see the one world government doing things to prepare for the next coming cataclysm. And of course they're starting in the trumpet judgments in this book. And so one of those judgments is the comet Wormwood that hits the earth and poisons the world's fresh water supplies. And, and so they're having to deal with that and all the other, judgments that are falling around that at the same time of, you know, not taking the mark of the beast and having to, trade with other people, for information and for goods and services outside of the system, because they've been put out of the economic system altogether because they won't take the mark.
So, yeah, I noticed that too, that where this black market system begins to develop, and you've got a couple of different groups that are working in this underground black market trying to avoid the mark of the beast. You've got Christians who see what's going on, and they refuse it for religious reasons. They understand what the mark of the beast is. And the second group, they're just your rebels. They're just, I'm not going to be pushed around by no government. I'm not taking that thing. They're just basically just kind of a more of a rebellious spirit. But they don't necessarily want to have anything to do with the Christian thing. But you know, they're still resisting it. So you actually have it's not just Christians. You get a large underground base, really, in this black market system. And, but these guys are, you know, working together. It's a very realistic, I guess, relationship that you could see unfolding.
Yeah. My enemy's enemy is my friend, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And, so this is, I really like the characters, the way you've built them up. You know, especially with Elliot, you know, a former CIA analyst and the gal that he ends up meeting. What I liked in Apocalypse was that you brought one of the two witnesses to life, it was Elijah.
Right.
And, where they get to know him, you know, in Virginia as a person, it just really, it just made him real to me.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool?
It would. I like the thought of that. What type of a person would they be, you know, if this unfolded this way? I don't know if they're just going to come down. You know, they're not going to be, you know, living on Earth prior to this. They're just come down for their moment and then be gone again. But I like the approach about where you get to actually know these people and see where they're at, you know, what their mission is. From a human side of things, you know, interacting with them. That was cool. I just love the whole story. So I'm looking forward to Wormwood. And what's the next book coming after this one?
It'll be Angel of the Apocalypse.
Okay.
Or Angel, I'm sorry, Angel of the Abyss.
Ah, all right. Now where I left off, What I remember is the other main character, another couple that they linked up with, these guys are Christians now too, but the one guy, what's his name? I can't remember. He died. He was shot and killed. And Elijah actually brings him back to life. And that's when they start to realize who this guy is, one of the two witnesses.
Yeah.
I thought we'd lost him forever.
Yeah.
But let's talk about this in modern terms. Well, actually, let's take a break real quick. And then when we come back, I want to talk about current events, how you see things unfolding. Some of the threats, I think we're probably both on the same page on this, but I think this would be a good discussion for the listeners to hear. And really, in a practical sense, what they can do about it, what they should be doing about it, and what they shouldn't be worried about, and then what action steps they should be taking right now. So we'll talk about that. We're with Mark Goodwin from Prepper Recon, the author of the latest series, The Days of Elijah, with his new book, Wormwood. You'll be able to find that on our Highlights and Resources posting. We'll be putting links up at RadioFreeRedoubt.com for you to click through and get your copy today. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Don't go away.
The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out Silver.com today. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com.
All right, again, we're back. If you're just joining us late, we are with Mark Goodwin from Prepper Recon talking about his latest book, Wormwood, in the series, The Days of Elijah, dealing with some Christians that were left behind after what we commonly refer to as the rapture. And they become Christians. They're dealing with the mark of the beast, a one-world government. And this all stemmed from the Days of Noah series, which is basically the collapse of the American system, dealing with a persecution against just patriots and conservatives, and it's kind of basically how major change and reset happened in the United States. So, Mark Goodwin, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to clarify, they weren't Christians when they were left behind. But they'd had people telling them about this and telling them this was going to happen and nodding their head. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure thing. Whatever. And then the second the disappearances are announced on the radio and blamed on the aliens, they know exactly what just happened and basically hit their knees immediately. And I think a lot of people are going to do that. And I think a lot of people are going to be, I think there's going to be a lot of people that think that they've got a ticket out of here and they've been fed a line of apostate theology that's so prevalent in America that tells them that there's some type of salvation that you can get without repentance. And that is just, that's not in the Bible.
No, it's not. So, yeah, this is good. And that's a good point. These guys had all heard the story. I mean, the Eliot's kind of mentor for years, and his boss at the CIA tried talking about this, inviting him up to his cabin, talking about the preparations that he's made. And of course, he passes away, but he got a chance to witness to Eliot. So once he passed away and then this the rapture happens, they knew exactly what happened. And that starts them on their journey. So they definitely have some challenges ahead of them. The wormwood affecting the water, how did they overcome it in this book? I mean, from your perspective as a fictional perspective.
Well, it's God's providence in there, and he provides a spring for them. But, there's a lot of things that I think that it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough time to get through. And one of the things that I sort of dealt with in the days of Noah was just this complete and total annihilation of the United States, because we don't really see United States as being a major player
Right.
When we're looking at biblical prophecy, and there's something that's been in my spirit that I've been apprehensive about, since the primaries, since the Republican primaries, that, you know, could Donald Trump be a type of judgment against America to say, you know, this is who you've elected to be your conservative leader. Now, with everybody else, I'm happy that he got it and not Hillary. You know, I'd rather take a bullet in the foot than a bullet in the head any day. And anybody that says that, oh, it's terrible to choose between the lesser of two evils, I'm not going to compromise, I'm not going to do that. Let's see you say that when some psycho has a gun to your daughter and is asking you, do you want me to shoot her in the foot or do you want me to shoot her in the head?
Right.
You'll take the lesser of two evils. If something like that, God forbid, ever happens to you, you'll take the lesser of two evils on that day. And that's exactly what we did in November, is we took the lesser of two evils, and it's going to mean, and that's what it means to our children. Do we want them to have the bullet in their head or a bullet in their foot? And every parent out there will pick the foot, you know?
Sure.
As bad and horrible as that is to sit and watch your kid get shot in the foot, you'll take that every day over watching them get shot in the head. And, yeah. And, you know, I'm still convinced that's what we got with Trump. And, you know, he's not a conservative. He's never, in his long political, in his career or in his, the things that he said, they're not political. They're not conservative. The ways he's voted, the people he supported, his stance on abortion, all of that stuff's been very, wishy-washy. And, you know, and now he came into office with, like we said in the first half of the show, Jared Kushner and Ivanka, Kabbalist, leftist, liberals on one side of the spectrum, and Steve Bannon on the other side, and now Steve Bannon's getting pushed away, and he's embracing that leftist mentality, and unfortunately, we're watching him get dragged into this warmongerism of I think the globalist mindset, and I'm hoping that he's going to prove me wrong. But I'm very, very apprehensive about what's happening right now. And I think that this could be a type of judgment from God for us saying, yeah, this is who us as the conservatives of America are going to pick this man that has owned, strip clubs and, casinos and, has been involved in a lot of stuff that's
well off on it.
Not conservative at all.
Right. And he funded Hillary Clinton's campaign in 2011. Okay, so basically what we've got are the political and even militarily things are escalating in the world right now. Situation with North Korea more particularly. I've gotten updates right now. The Pentagon is, matter of fact, the Pentagon right now, their parking is overflowing. They're running shuttle buses now with extended parking lots, for the manpower that they've called in to the Pentagon. Things are definitely escalating over there. They're scheduled to do a, nuclear test. They've called for the evacuation of Pyongyang, the capital city of North Korea. A lot of indicators here pointing toward things heating up. A lot of people are saying, North Korea poses no threat to the United States. They're a joke. But I've got a couple of theories on that, and I'm sure you do as well. So what's your take on the level of threat that North Korea actually poses on the United States?
Well, the CIA's own former nuclear strategist, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, he doesn't think that they're not a threat. He believes that they've got two satellites orbiting over America right now that could be detonated at will to create an EMP blast that would cripple our infrastructure, our banking system, our transport system, everything, in the blink of an eye and basically destroy America, and that we're not prepped and we're not hardened against this at all. And I guess we're getting ready to find out, because like you said, things are escalating. And if he's got something like that, Kim Jong's going to pull the button, push the button. And, you know, and it's hard to say, is he really the bully that he acts like in North Korea, there where he's got so much power and he's unopposed? It's easy for him to go around and bully everybody. But, you know, sometimes the bully in the schoolyard, when he's confronted with somebody that's willing to stand up to him, will back down. So we don't really know where he's at as far as, you know, is he willing to die over this, or is he going to back down? We don't really know. That's the end of the first half of my guest appearance on Radio Free Readout with John Jacob Schmidt. Tune in next week for the rest of the show.
In the Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. Everett and Courtney Carl have survived the Seven Seal Judgments, which devastated the planet. But have their efforts to stay alive been in vain? The next series of judgments to fall upon the earth are known as the Seven Trumpets. Within this series of cataclysms is the earth's collision with a giant asteroid known as Wormwood. The comet will poison much of the planet's fresh water supplies, making survival nearly impossible. With each subsequent trumpet judgment, their odds of living grow slimmer. If Everett and Courtney are to survive, they'll need perseverance, faith, and a great outpouring of providence from the Almighty. Buy your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.